Beatty's words, taken from the Mystical City of God, Incarnation, Book 1, Chapter 19. Our Lady tells us of God's special love for us when He sees humility and contempt of earthly things within us.
My daughter, in order to solve thy difficulty more explicitly than is already noted down in the foregoing chapter, thou must remember that no occupation or exterior act pertaining to virtue, no matter how lowly it may be, can, if it is well ordered, impede the worship, reverence, and exaltation of the Creator of all things. For these acts of virtue do not exclude one another, but they are all compatible with one another in the creature, and much more in me, who lived in the continual presence of the highest good, without ever losing out of sight by exterior activity. I adored and remembered God in all my actions, referring them all to His greater glory, and the Lord Himself, who orders and creates all things, despises none of them, nor is He offended or irritated by their smallness. The soul that loves Him is not disconcerted by any of these little things in His divine presence, for it seeks and finds Him as the beginning and the end of all creatures. And because terrestrial creatures cannot exist without these humble performances, and without others that are inseparable from our lowly condition and the preservation of our nature, it is necessary to understand this doctrine well, in order that we may be governed by it. For if we engage in these thoughts and occupations without reference to their Creator, they will cause many and great interruptions in the practice of virtue and in our merits, as well as in the right use of interior advantages. Our whole life will be blamesworthy and full of reprehensible defects, little removed from the earthliness of creatures. According to this doctrine, thou must so regulate thy terrestrial occupations, whatever they may be, that thou do not lose thy time, which can never be recovered, whether thou eat, labor, rest, sleep, or watch, in all times and places, and in all occupations, adore, reverence, and look upon thy great and powerful Lord, who fills all things and conserves all things. I wish also that thou pay special attention to that which moved and incited me most to perform all acts of humility, namely, the thought that my divine Son came into the guise of humility in order to teach the world this virtue in word and example, to inculcate the hate of vanity and pride, and rooting out its seeds sown by Lucifer among mortals in the first sin. His Majesty gave me a deep knowledge of how much He is pleased with this virtue, that in order to be allowed to perform only one of the acts mentioned by thee, such as sweeping the floor or kissing the feet of the poor, I would have been ready to suffer the greatest torments of the world. Thou wilt never find words to express the love for humility which I had, nor to describe its excellence and nobility. In the Lord thou wilt know and understand what thou canst not describe in words. But write this doctrine in thy heart, and observe it as the rule of thy life. Continue to exercise thyself in the contempt of all things belonging to human vanity, and esteem them as odious and execrable in the eyes of the Most High. But in connection with this humility of thy life, let thy thoughts always be the noblest, and thy conversation in heaven and with the angelic spirits. Deal with them and converse with them in order to obtain new light concerning the divinity and mysteries of Christ, my most holy Son. With creatures let thy intercourse be such as will continually increase thy fervor and serve thee as means of advancing and profiting by means of humility and divine love. In thy own mind assume the lowest place beneath all creatures, so that when the occasion and the time of exercising the acts of humility arrive, thou mayest be found prompt and willing to exercise them. Only then wilt thou be the mistress of the passions. If first thou hast acknowledged thyself in thy heart as the least and weakest and most useless of all the creatures.